Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences, so tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell even your mortal enemies about all this, because everybody needs to get behind it. This is a problem that is affecting the globe. Everybody needs to work together, just this one time, maybe. We all need to do this for some time. We need to be unified. It is a real thing. There is a real epidemic going on here. You're listening to Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one and only, except no substitutions. Once again, I'm doing the show solo tonight. My colleague, Comedy Organic OK, who this show is basically produced by, man behind all this, he's absent. He's MIA. Where is he? We're supposed to be doing something here. There is a national call to arms, if you will. Good people, we're here. You listen to Kakuna from the microphone here. And don't just listen, talk. Get involved. You can be on the air tonight. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Okay, all right. Now, good people, my friends. I wasn't always a radio personality. I mean, I was even before this show started, but hear me out. I was someone who spent his whole life in McKinleyville, California. McKinleyville, where horses had the right of way. I tell you, McKinleyville, we had it all. We had everything. I say this as somebody who has actually traveled the world by now and seen a lot of the action there is to see, but I tell you, I kid you not, honestly, I had basically still haven't found a city that had everything in it like McKinleyville has. You know, it's in Northern California. You can snow, ski, sled, snowboard. We got snow up, whatever. There's a beach here where you can surf, you can boogie board, you can parasail or windsurf. You can do all that noise up in McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way. You can walk, you can hike, you can go horseback riding. I did all that, whatever. Some of us like to fancy ourselves as cowboys, you know, mounting a horse and all that jazz. Now, honestly, I did everything there was to do there. I spent my whole life there. And see, the thing is, I personally thought that I was going to basically spend forever there, you know. I was so sure that I was. I thought that was going to be it for me. I thought that, honestly, I was born and raised there. I was ready to die there. I was ready to do everything there was to do there. I was so happy and content with where I was. I thought, what else do I need in life? I know. You got to eke out a living, don't you? I thought, I'll take any job. I'll do whatever. I just want to be able to sit back and stop and smell the roses. Indulge in all the pleasures that McKinleyville had to offer. I did everything there was to do there. I did. And then what happened was, finally, and I mean finally, I graduated high school. I graduated. Now, I graduated high school. And then up to this point, it's like, what happens now? Go out in the world, try to get a job, get married, get kids, you know, have, I don't know. I thought, okay, maybe I'll do all that. Understand something. Now, I didn't think about the big things, I thought I was going to basically, you know, as a kid, when you're a kid, you don't think so much about what the real world must be like, you know. You look forward to being grown up, you can get all the stuff you want. It's just that by the time you're that age, you've outgrown it. And people think it's kind of sad and creepy if you're still into that stuff when you're that age, you know. I graduated high school and didn't know what to do next. Thought, get a job. Yeah, sure.
father was especially on that push. But now let me tell you something. There weren't a lot of jobs available or places to live. He wanted me to move out, too. There wasn't a lot of that going on. You got to understand something. McKinleyville, we got so much. It's so nice there. People want to stay. So there's not a lot of vacancies. Nowadays, if you know this for a fact, there are more and more people willing to do menial, dead-end jobs and whatever for survival, to eat by, to scrape by, to, you know, that there's just no vacancy. Nothing is available. And there's nothing that guarantees you the security of safe old age. Dang. Now, there I was, basically, how do I put this? I was there. I didn't know what else to do. I was just, I stayed by. I got a blog talk radio show just like this one. I did. And, you know, I wasn't one of those people who was constantly spinning discs and whatnot. You know, the kind of person who basically is literally just sort of, you know, thought radio was interesting medium. You beam yourself into people's homes live. People can't see you, but they can hear. You know, there was a time when radio was at all before television came along and just started doing a safer version, bigger version of what radio was doing. I didn't just spin discs. I didn't just talk about weather and traffic. I talked about, you know, what's wrong with the world today. It would be a better world if we just, you know, one of the soapbox ranting guys. But honestly, I don't think anybody was listening. No, really, not a soul. You know, I've been on this talk radio show for a while on that, whatever. I still don't understand how you tune in, listen in, all that. I still don't understand how it works. How to set a show up. Some people on the radio got one. I still don't know how to basically, how you tune in. It's not like a regular radio where, you know, you've had a regular radio in your car, your alarm clock, whatever. You know how to basically flip that switch and tune into something and fill with the antenna and whatnot. How does internet blog radio work? I'm on the show and I don't even know. I was mad at my friends for not tuning in, but I just think they didn't know how. That's what I tell myself. I don't know either. Finally, the show, the career, the run ended because, well, I ran out of free time. They wanted me to start paying for it, you know? Every second of every minute of every day, somebody wants your money, and they will find a way to get it. Now, there I was, still in my one-room studio apartment. That's what I called my room, my parents' place. But my dad said I couldn't even call it that because I wasn't paying rent. Dang. There I was, living there for a while. My parents let me stay as long as they did, not so much out of parental, you know, love and generosity, because they were my parents. They did it because otherwise they have to talk to each other. They didn't want that. My parents, I still think they got together because they were just two people who didn't have any other options. I don't think it was a thing called love. I don't think they enjoy each other's company. I think they just needed a life partner, and sometimes you need a partner so much you sign up with anybody. You know? Dang. Let me sit there for a little while until one day around the holidays, my father said he wanted me out. He wanted me out. Not because he wanted more time with my mother, not that, but he didn't want to talk to her either. But then, well, here's the simple fact. He didn't want to talk to me either. Just because he didn't want to talk to her doesn't mean he's going to want to talk me, and he said, you've been here long enough. You're not even working. You don't even. I explained the situation, he said, well, that's too bad. That's life sometimes. You got to get out of here. And it kicked me out right before the holidays. I left with basically just the clothes on my back and a backpack that wasn't even half full. Wish I could take all my stuff with me, but it was without means. And before I knew it, there I was out of the house. I looked back for a moment and I thought, dang, I can't believe it. I'm really homeless. Once again, I had no prospects, nothing else to look to. I don't know. I really didn't have anything, any means to get by on. Here's a fact. Here's a scientific fact of life. You need to find a way to stand on your own and make your ends, but it seems like things are so bad right now for everybody that it's harder now than ever to do that. There was a time when basically a job would really provide for you. There were benefits. There was the security in old age, getting seniority and tenure. That is gone. There I was, without any means whatsoever. I just started walking through the woods. I thought, maybe my father will cool down. Maybe he'll let me back in. Maybe my mother would want him too also. Just leave them there with each other for a while, and I'm sure they'll be begging you to come back. You know? It was messed up. But it was life. You know, when you're first kicked down the street, you're first homeless, it doesn't quite sink in right away. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it just feels like this is just a minor setback. I'm not actually living on the street, am I? Can't be. I hiked up Hammond Trail. I passed the waterfall that we have, and I went over to the campsite. Dang. It was a hike like any other I've had, but the knowledge that, dang it, I'm really without means here. I'm in trouble. I'm really, you know what, out of luck. Then that's when I came across them. At the campsite, there were people there, an entourage of people who were basically sitting back, barbecuing food, grilling, enjoying each other's company, talking, laughing. I greeted them. Hello. I told them my name. I can't give that on the air right here for legal practicality reasons, for confidentiality purposes, but I told them my name. The biggest guy of all, the biggest one, the guy who seemed to be in charge, one of them came over and said to me, hello, my name's Comedy Organic OK. And truth is, I'm basically in charge of all this. We're going around and we're doing something. We're doing a process. We're trying to help people. We're basically going around picking garbage up off the street and helping the homeless go off the street, too. We're doing all that. Yeah. You want to join us? I was taken aback. Was he offering me a job? He's offering me something. And once again, I was in no position to turn anything down. So I said, okay. Then he said, kneel down, get on one knee. And he touched me on the shoulder with two fingers, like someone of royalty knighting someone, said, A.W. DJ Butterfly Feces. That's your name now, it's your handle. You're going to be you got to have a moniker on the street. You're going to hang with us. Now, DJ Butterfly Feces, I was not crazy about this name then as I am now. But he explained to me, you know, the whole process, like when a caterpillar spins a cocoon, engulfs himself in it, goes into its little workshop, whatever, until it emerges a beautiful butterfly. A beautiful butterfly. A beautiful butterfly. Everyone knows about that. Not just because of the butterfly that comes out beautifully, but because there's a metaphor for life and all that, how you accomplish. Anywho, caterpillar basically makes. It basically leaves its insect seed droppings on the ground, and all that fertilizer, that manure, life expands and grows from. People don't realize that. It's not a pleasant thought, but it's true. It's 9:15 here on the program. Graham cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. Let me know what you're thinking. I'm here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Tell me what you're thinking. What's going on with you? Anyway, around the holidays, he picked me up, took me off the street, and there we were, helping whatever. We spent New Year's Eve and New Year's Day in Vicenza, Italy. I saw how it was a very beautiful, different, you know, from America and all that. It really was. And I say, I was happy to see it. We picked up garbage. We tried to talk to people, which was hard because I didn't speak Italian. We went all over. All over. All over. We've gone over to place to place. And if you listen to our last show, which was earlier today at 4, I was recently into Sherman Oaks. Once again, it wasn't a city that basically I really thought much about. It's not one of those cities, like the really important ones we were going to and whatever. But they had the same problem there. The city itself seemed kind of lovely, but there were tents after tents of people who've been thrown on the street like so much trash. There wasn't so much trash to pick up. But once again, there were people. People. Now, our next stop. Where to? We're still in California, Golden State. I wanted to be careful because I was afraid that basically if I went wrong, he'd dump me back at McKinleyville. I want to give my folks more time to miss me. There we were. I noticed we were driving down the Golden Gate Bridge. Yep, we were in San Francisco. I basically was so happy. Now, look, this was a city, once again, with a lot of reputation behind it, you know? It's called the Golden State because of the Golden Gate. San Francisco. Some of those big cities where always something is going on. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of action, there's a lot of sights to see. And hopefully we get a peek at them. But once again, it wasn't about that. It was about, honestly, us helping these people, picking up trash and helping these homeless. And I tell you, you know what? I'm still playing that here. Now, here was a city with a lot of garbage, a lot of trash, and a lot of people have been thrown out like trash. We were picking up. For some reason, it felt dirtier out here. I don't know why. I think because the bigger the city, the more filthy it's going to get. And once again, there were lines and lines of people who were out here. But they seemed to be kind of happy. They seemed to be a city that kind of grooves with the homeless. The homeless had their own sort of vibe going on around here. That was kind of cool. Once again, it was a place to be cool in. Once again, I wanted to sightsee them, but we were here for a mission, a purpose, a reason. Organic told me we can do a little bit of looking around whatever after we help some people, get them off the streets and whatever. Now, I know basically San Francisco, the city, as it likes to be called. You know, I understand why New York City is called the city to anyone who lives in the state of New York. But why is San Francisco called the city? The state is California, not San Francisco. I'm splitting hairs right now, aren't I? Anywho, there we were basically picking up garbage. And then once again, we were picking up people. Once again, there were so many, I wondered how we can do much of any of them. I mean, I'm sure they had homeless shelters there and whatever. There was all this, but still it wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I basically came across a woman who told me about how she had been a lifelong San Francisco citizen or whatever. And even though she was on the street right now and there wasn't really a lot of relief and hope in sight for her, she wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I came across a lot of people who basically wound up on the streets out here. And like New York, they had their own thing going on. They were all connected. One of them told me, this woman said to me, she said, I want to live homeless. I think everybody should just for a little while, just to see what it's like. Yeah, but there's always that danger. If you get on the street, you'll never get off it. You die out there. No food, so dirty. I told them our story. I told them how we'd basically gone around all over trying to help the homeless, picking up garbage and whatever. It was a real thing. It was basically, it was something. We had gone all over, and I told them how I was from McKinleyville. I told them my name, DJ Butterfly Feces. Like, what's the DJ part, they explained to me. So I had a blog and a radio show. Some of them laughed and asked me what I was doing here. I said, I'm here to help all of you, to help heal the homeless, pick the garbage up off the streets. And once again, I saw, as soon as we picked it up, I saw somebody else making more. A guy throwing his empty fast food containers right there on the ground. I was angry. You know? You see, you go out on your mission to clean up, to make things better, and here's somebody making it worse. You know why? Because he knows he can. There are people who basically take advantage of the fact there's always someone around there to clean up the mess. They get used to that. It makes them careless. It makes them worse than litter bugs. They make it the kind of people who are sinking the planet. I sat and basically asked the San Franciscoites, the vagabonds in San Francisco, what's their favorite thing about living in San Francisco? They told me how there's so much action going on here. The city is so alive and vibrant. Always something going down, always a party, always big events, even after dark. It was a big city with a lot of action. Dang. I wish that every single person could just know what it felt like to be here. Honestly. Now, there I was picking up trash. After I picked up more than my share. And there was a lot of it. But there I was trying to announce to everybody, I hope everybody takes a lesson from this. There's not always going to be somebody to pick the trash up that you throw. You make a mess. Put it in a trash bin. You know, we could be spending more time helping the homeless if there was less garbage on the ground. And once again, San Francisco had homeless shelters. Had a few, but you knew they were going to be booked. What to do? Help build more housing pods? Well, if you remember correctly, those things aren't free either. They're not free. They're not free. How do we help these people? I was basically looking around feeling more than just a little bit helpless. The problem with basically being an organization that does something for somebody. They expect it, and they don't think they have to do anything. If we pick up the garbage, how are the people, how is everybody going to know how harmful this garbage problem is? If we keep helping the the homeless. How are they going to realize? It's like, how bad does a homeless population have to be before enough people get together and collectively do something about it? It's messed up is what it is. It's a problem. A real problem. I picked up the last of the garbage, and I said, and I made my peace with people. I tried to talk to them, ask them their story. I heard stories about gay people who were thrown out of the house for being gay. I came across people who basically wanted to travel and see the world. Whatever. I heard stories from people basically just got fired from their job because there was somebody who just came into this country with a green card who needed this job so much he was going to do it for nothing, for less. And I heard about businesses that went out of business, laid off all their employees, and there wasn't another job. I heard about all of it. No one heard this before, but it still drives me nuts that not enough is being done about it. I want to hurt somebody. Someone is responsible for all this. Who? I mean, is it a group of people? Is there one person? I didn't know. San Francisco, once again, a beautiful city with a serious homeless and trash problem. Now, this trash can be picked up. People not so easily. Dang. I went to Organic. I told him, how do we help and stop this problem at the source? We already been on TV. Maybe we need to basically, our program needs to get the word up. Maybe we need to be on numerous TV shows. Maybe we're on more than one. You know, on the news, they know us. They're going to help give to our cause. Raise money to get these people off the street. We need to do something to create more jobs for people. Hal said, dude, what do you want? You want everybody to stop living in the technological age? Stop building machines that will do things that people can do? That's not going to happen. I want to do something, but I don't know what. I don't know. You're asking me to reverse something that's just progress. Look, a lot of... Sorry, I mean, this is the problem we got. This is the world we're living in. This is a problem. I walked out of there feeling especially angry. It was the same here as it was anywhere else. Nothing special that much about San Francisco. Homeless, white garbage, I got the same problem. I don't know. I was depressed. I like to think we made a difference. With the garbage picked up, maybe they can cut surface, waste disposal, make a few more rooms for people. Well, we're all holding our breath, he told me. He was right. I've noticed that every problem gets worse unless you make it better. It's like a cavity. It'll abscess and get infected if you don't fill it up, stop the problem at the source. I want to thank everybody for listening to Cocooning from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. You can pick up all our shows off the web at Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully you'll be back next week, and so will my co-host, Organic OK. I want us to shoot the breeze. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, and good night.